and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Vicki Barker. Israel now claims it killed 16 Hezbollah militants in yesterday's rare airstrike in Beirut, Lebanon.
The Israeli airstrike ripped through the heart of Beirut's southern suburbs, Hezbollah's stronghold. Lebanese authorities said three children and seven women were among those killed. The target, Hezbollah commander Ibrahim Aqil, wanted by the U.S. for his role in two bombings in 1983 that killed more than 300 people at the U.S. Embassy in Beirut and the U.S. Marine Corps barracks. And this morning, Hezbollah announced it was also mourning 14 other militants killed in the blast, including senior commander Ahmed Wahabi.
CBS's Chris Livesay reporting from Tel Aviv. To the U.S. election race now and a controversial rule change in a crucial battleground state. More from CBS's Scott McFarland.
Just more than 6 weeks until Election Day, three Republicans who hold a majority on the board voted to change the rules for handling ballots, requiring poll workers at each precinct in Georgia's 159 counties to conduct a hand count of all the ballots on election night, in addition to the traditional machine count. All the top Republicans in the state, including the governor, have criticized the board's actions, accusing them of exceeding their authority and making 11th-hour changes. Trump, meanwhile, has lauded and thanked the board members for considering new rules.
They're on fire. They're doing a great job. Three members.
CBS's Natalie Brand has more from the campaign trail.
Vice President Kamala Harris rallied in Wisconsin Friday night, her fourth visit to the battleground state since launching her White House bid this summer.
Your vote is your voice, and your voice is your power.
In-person voting kicked off in Virginia, where enthusiastic early voters couldn't wait to cast their ballots.
Our democracy, I feel, is at stake.
In South Dakota and Minnesota, early voters can drop off their absentee ballots in person.
And President Biden, he's hosting the leaders of Japan, Australia, and India in Wilmington, Delaware this weekend. CBS's Linda Kenyon has that.
The fourth annual Quad Summit is taking place in the president's hometown.
And he's very excited about that, about showing them a place in a community that shaped so much of the public servant and a leader that he became.
But National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says this summit is about so much more than that.
Priorities such as health security, natural disaster response, maritime security, quality infrastructure, critical and emerging technologies, climate and clean energy, and cybersecurity.
And tensions in the Taiwan Strait. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
And the Philadelphia Phillies have clinched a playoff berth with their 12-2 win over the New York Mets last night. This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Get the savings you want on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/choice5G and start saving today.
The school year is starting soon. Whether at home or in the classroom, Family Natural Foods can help support health and success. All natural products can help boost your immune health and be your first lines of defense for both you and the kids. Maybe your child needs help focusing and concentrating. Ask about natural alternatives from Terry Naturally. Prepare now for a successful, healthy school year at Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Greetings, everyone. This is Terry Naturally with another edition of Terry Talks Nutrition. We're here every weekend, same time, same station. Join us, please, and tell anybody else that you think might benefit from learning about alternative medicine, nutrition, health, and diet. You know, really, it is not alternative medicine. Botanical medicine, nutrition, has been used for thousands, if not millions of years, to provide health, happiness, vitality, and energy. And only in the last 100 years, we have been bombarded with drugs. And now, this is crazy. They have come out with a new drug that studies have shown, at least one study has shown, that it prevents type 2 diabetes by 94%. Well, that's all in great. That's all good. But what causes diabetes? What causes high blood sugar levels? The diet. So really, type 2 diabetes is optional. We eat in such a way and have created such an environment, lifestyle environment, to create a disease. And now they have created a drug that will cost $1,000 a month to treat type 2 diabetes. And it's being hailed as a breakthrough. We didn't have type 2 diabetes until we had such an increased intake and consumption of sugar and refined carbohydrates. So when the doctor does a blood test, a simple blood test, not a test over time, but a simple blood test, and notices that your blood sugar level is sky high, well, you may just have eaten a very high carbohydrate diet or a very high sugar diet. And we're eating so much sugar compared to what we did 100 years ago that we become a type 2 diabetic. We become pre-diabetic only because of the diet, not because of some malfunction, not some mechanism that's not working in our body. We have gone from 4 to 5 pounds of sugar per year, per individual, on an average basis. And now I have seen statistics that anywhere from 150 to 250 pounds of sugar per year, per individual. I know many of you listening have given up sugar. I don't eat any sugar at all. So somebody else out there is consuming our average intake of sugar because it's on a national basis. An average of the amount of sugar consumed is on a national basis. It's sugar. Our diet is so screwed up and so non-nutritious. And now they're making drugs. I think it's Lilly that created this drug. I wouldn't bet on it, but I think it's Eli Lilly that created this drug. $1,000 a month. And they'll have millions of people on this drug. Well, if you want to know why all this is happening, just follow the money. So today we're going to share some featured topics on how to stop coughs, colds, and bronchitis. We're going to also talk about the adverse effects of anxiety on your brain. And then let's talk about prevention and recovery from long COVID, and the importance of vitamin D, vitamin D3, D like in dog. And a lot of our complaints, our illnesses, our medical problems are all due to visceral fat. What is visceral fat, and what does it have to do with berries? And why do young people have less cancer than older people? And does it matter what time of the day you exercise? I think you're going to be surprised. And what is the best calcium for building strong bones? You might be surprised on this one as well. You know, antibiotics, they were hailed as a breakthrough. And they did a lot of good in the very beginning of prescribing antibiotics. But now we're consuming so much in terms of the antibiotics that are prescribed they no longer work as well. The bugs have gotten smart. So now when they're treated with antibiotics, they can hide. They get stronger. They resist the antibiotics. And they don't work as well. And for sure, they don't help a cough. So if you go to the doctor, I think the doctor might note that as well, or should know that as well, because coughs are not caused by bacteria. And antibiotics kill off bacteria, not viruses. And a cough, 98% or 98.5% of all coughs are caused by a virus, not a bacteria. So antibiotics don't have any value to be prescribed for cough. But many doctors still do. And I think they may think that if I do something and I'm not doing any real harm, that the patient will be happy and think that I am doing something of value, because they certainly aren't of value. They don't do anything to lessen the cough. But for some reason, they still tend to do it. So coughs are caused by a bacteria, by a bacterial infection. Excuse me, I got that wrong. Caused by a viral infection, not by bacteria. Not caused by a bacterial infection. And sometimes these colds are called a chest cold and bronchitis. Anytime you see itis, I-T-I-S, itis, bronchitis, or arthritis, all the itises are a term used for inflammation. The bronchi is inflamed. And it happens when the airways in the lungs become inflamed and filled with mucus. So you're trying to cough up the mucus to expel it, to spit it out. Don't stop a cough. Work with it, because it's necessary for you to get well. Don't let it get out of control. You want to make sure that if it gets out of control, you talk to your doctor. But the primary symptom of bronchitis is coughing, which can last up to a week or two. In a new study, researchers evaluated the effectiveness of antibiotics in people with cough caused by bronchitis. Each patient, or the subject of the study, underwent lab tests to determine if their infection was caused by bacteria or a virus. Now, in the result of this study, there was no difference in the duration of the cough whether patients received an antibiotic or not. Antibiotic didn't work in the study. And yet we still use them. And they're still used in animals that we consume as food or in dairy. So we're getting a lot of antibiotics throughout our lifetime, which has caused the antibiotics to be ineffective. In fact, people who received antibiotics coughed a day and a half longer than people who didn't get any medication. Whether the illness was caused by a bacterial infection or a viral infection, antibiotics did not work. So that's something you should think about. When the doctor says, oh, I'll give you an antibiotic for that, do you really need it? If you have a Cough, probably not. Coughs are caused primarily by viral infection, not bacterial. Antibiotics only work on bacteria, not on viruses. And we should never try to suppress a cold or a cough. In fact, a productive cough is how mucus, phlegm, is expelled from the lungs. And without coughing, this is a trigger mechanism to get all that mucus out of you. It's hindering your ability to breathe and function properly. So without coughing, mucus can't get out of the body. You can't expel it. You can't cough it up and eliminate it or expectorate it. And cough suppressants block the urge to cough. They do nothing to reduce inflammation or mucus production or treat the underlying bacterial or viral infection. Now, I use the word bacterial infection often, but it has very, very, very little to do with a cough or cold. They're primarily viral infection. In fact, last year, an advisory panel to the FDA recommended removing a cough suppressant, a common cough suppressant, from the list of approved OTC drugs because there is no evidence that they actually work. So many medicines are sold, consumed, for no reason. They do nothing. Now, if you want a good expectorant with the ability to work with your cough, not to suppress it, but to regulate it, manage it, balance it, and relieve coughs without suppressing the cough reflex. You want the cough reflex to work. The best combination is ivy, IVY, and thyme, THYME, ivy and thyme, two herbal medicines that have been used for hundreds of years to relieve coughs, but not suppressing the cough reflex. They have the ability to reduce antibacterial and antiviral effects, reduce inflammation, thin the mucus, so it can be expelled more easily. Ivy extract clears up coughs. Here's an example. Clinical trials of over 5,000 children, ages 2 to 12 years of age, tested the effects of an ivy leaf extract to treat coughs. Not with a drug, not with antibiotics, but ivy leaf. That plant, if you don't move, it'll grow right over you. It starts up the side of the house, and you can see houses completely engulfed in ivy leaf, as English ivy. Now, all these children, these 5,000 children treated between the ages of 2 and 12, 71% of the children had intense coughing fits. 50% were coughing several times an hour. 61% had problems with coughs at night. So the results of the treatment of these children with ivy and thyme for 7 to 14 days. Children with coughing caused by a viral respiratory infection saw their coughing frequency decline by 50%, and coughing at night stopped almost entirely. Children with cough associated with bronchitis had a 30% reduction in coughing intensity and also a near elimination of coughing at night, with no side effects, no adverse events were reported from the study of 5,000 children. Ivy is very, very safe, very effective, very quickly, with no adverse effects. Ivy can be used whenever needed, especially for respiratory infection, cough, and cold. Ivy can also be taken long-term for chronic breathing problems such as COPD, primarily an adult condition. So generally speaking, from the studies that were done, they found that taking 50 to 150 milligrams of Ivy or 880 milligrams of Ivy and thyme in combination, which is a liquid syrup, 1, 2, 3, 4 teaspoons of the liquid syrup periodically through the day, not all at once. Separate them out like 1 teaspoon, 3, 4 times a day. Or a tablet that usually consists of 50 milligrams of Ivy, 1 to 3 times daily. This is a very effective dosage to reduce cough, bronchitis, asthma, sinusitis, again, ascites, inflammation, and COPD. That'll take care of your cough and cold, and hopefully you will avoid an antibiotic. Let's talk about our brain. Sometimes our brain gets over-anxious. We have the effects of anxiety. And then the adverse effects of anxiety. You know that anxiety and stress can damage your brain? Researchers looked at data from over 2,000 adults ages 55 to 85 over a period of 10 years. All the participants underwent regular screening for anxiety plus dementia. The results? Participants with chronic anxiety were 2 to 3 times more likely to develop dementia and one of the worst forms of dementia, Alzheimer's disease, anxiety, along with depression, caused more frequency, a greater frequency of developing dementia. But for people under the age of 70 who had chronic anxiety all the time, they were always suffering from anxiety. The effects on their mental health were much greater, a greater risk of chronic destruction of the brain cells. They had as much as 8 times the higher risk of normal people of dementia than people who experience anxiety after the age of 70. So if you're under the age of 70, who have experienced chronic anxiety, the effects of the mental health, the risk of greater mental deterioration was so much greater, so much greater. They had as much as 8 times higher risk of Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. Now, the participants of the studies who had occasional anxiety. Everybody gets anxious at some time or another. It's not chronic in everyone's case. You have to fly one day. You don't want to fly. You hate flying. It bothers you. It's not what makes you feel comfortable. So if you've lost your peace and comfort, and you experience anxiety. Now, those people that resolved did not have an increased risk of dementia. It was occasional. It's the chronic form of anxiety that causes the higher risk of having dementia. But anxiety has direct and indirect effects on the brain. Now, the direct way, anxiety increases inflammation and is associated with shrinking of tissues in the brain, associated with learning and memory. So if you have anxiety, it'll cause more damage, more inflammation, and a greater risk of shrinking of the tissues, the cells in the brain that normally work with learning and memory. But indirectly, anxiety can cause people to have a more likely risk to make unhealthy lifestyle choices. So in other words, people with anxiety are more likely to make the wrong choices. And they are likely to make more unhealthy lifestyle choices, especially around diet and smoking. And that puts them at an increased risk of health problems, including dementia. They choose an unhealthy diet because it stimulates them and gives them comfort, and smoke, which gives them comfort. They're bad choices, but the more anxiety they have, the more they smoke, the more they eat unhealthy diets and lifestyle choices. So how do you protect your brain from the effects of anxiety? Well, I am sure most of you have heard about echinacea. Echinacea angustifolia is the American form of echinacea. There's other forms that have grown in Europe, but this one particularly is a North American herb. And you probably know, that echinacea is very good for reducing cold and flu. It has a group of polysaccharides, chemical compounds in the body, in the herb, that has an effect that stops cold and flu. But in all herbal medicines, there are several groups of compounds that work on a variety of indications, chronic diseases, to help cure them, prevent them, and reverse them. And in echinacea, there's a group of compounds called alkamides. And these alkamides are very, very effective in reducing anxiety. If you're anxious, this form of echinacea reduces your anxiety. You may not be anxious every day. Only certain circumstances and situations trigger anxiety in some people. They have to get up and give a speech before their peers. They don't like public speaking. They don't want to get up in front of their peers and give a lecture. Or maybe they have to report to the supervisor the next day, and all night they're anxious. Why? Why am I going to in front of the supervisor? Or flying? Or anything that takes you out of your comfort zone causes occasional common anxiety. Now, I'm going to take a break right here. I've only got a few seconds before we go into the commercials, and then we'll come back right away, so don't go away. I'm going away only for a few seconds. You're going to be right there, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you more of how you can reduce the effect of brain damage caused by anxiety if you do the right things to prevent the damage. And I'll tell you that right here on Terry Talks Nutrition. I'm Terry, naturally. And welcome back, my friends. We're back here with Terry Talks Nutrition. I'm Terry, naturally. So we're happy to have you back here with us. And we'll be here till the top of the hour. We have a lot more to share with you. Ways to get you healthier, to get you in a happy attitude, a happy state of life, how to make better choices, to have better health. It all comes down to choices. You can choose to smoke or not smoke. You can choose to drink too much or only occasionally have a glass of wine. All these things we do to maintain good health, prevent ill health, are choices. It's not the doctor's choice, not the drug company's choice. They're not your best allies when it comes to health and nutrition. I'm reading a very excellent book by a psychiatrist who had been using drugs. But all the risky side effects of these drugs for mental health are usually not in the favor of the patient. But that's all they have to consider. And along about age 40 of this psychiatrist, like everybody in their 40s, everything starts slowing down. Everything starts popping up, illnesses, sicknesses, gaining weight, whatever. Well, it led her to study health and nutrition and use it primarily for all kinds of mental health problems today. It is quite interesting for a psychiatrist to give up drug therapy. Oh, occasionally, when there was no other choice, yes, but she has all of her patients on the proper diet, proper nutrition, proper health, and all the variety of conditions to be healthy. Now, let's go back to our subject before we got into the break, and that was echinacea for anxiety. Echinacea has a group of alkaloids that are found in the plant cause echinacea angustifolia. And these alkaloids have an effect on the brain like cannabinoids on these very specific receptor sites in the brain to reduce anxiety. And it works fantastically, even on children. Children are anxious today, too. They have some challenges in school, or challenges with their peers as well. A variety of conditions can cause children to have anxiety. So for children over the age of 4, they're very tolerable of echinacea angustifolia, of the alkaloid compound. But you can also consider Greek mountain tea. It's really not a tea unless you want to drink it. Like green tea can be used in a tea or capsules. There are not many people that like to drink tea. I think America is pretty much grounded on the fact that it's coffee, not tea. When you get in some of the other countries like India, the UK, many countries drink tea. And as this plant or botanical is referred to as Greek mountain tea, it was once used as a tea by the shepherds in Greece. So if you want a good combination of Greek mountain tea, 500 milligrams daily, for a variety of conditions, but then also Greek mountain tea with bacopa. Bacopa is an Indian herb. Very, very effective on anxiety and mental conditions. Greek mountain tea with bacopa. Also a combination of ashwagandha and rhodiola. 500 milligrams of the combination can be extremely effective to be used daily to reduce anxiety. And then think about the B vitamins. The B vitamins like vitamin B6, folate, vitamin B12. Now you want these all in their biologically active form. These are B vitamins, B6, folate is B9, and B12. But when you take these in their natural form, they have to be converted in the body through the liver function to be in the highly bioactive state, which does not require conversion. So it goes directly to work. It works fantastically. So vitamin B6 in its pyridoxal-5-phosphate and methyl folate and methylcobalamin. These are all natural, highly bioavailable, goes directly to work, doesn't have to go through the liver function to become active. They're already active before you take them, so it goes directly to help support your body when it's being affected by anxiety. Long COVID. Still dealing with long COVID. Still dealing with the after effects of COVID. Many, many people went through COVID. COVID-19. They had the infection. They tested positive. Some had symptoms, some did not have symptoms. But many people that had infection caused by COVID-19, they have not recovered yet. Even though there is no active infection, they have side effects that have persisted and continued on after the infection was cleared and resolved. Now, doctors are looking at prevention and recovery from long COVID. That means lasting a long time, even after the infection is gone. So they call it long COVID. And they have found the importance of vitamin D. D like in dog. D-O-G, D. And especially D3. There are two forms of vitamin D. D3, which is natural. D2, which is not natural. So you want to use the vitamin D3. And researchers have looked at vitamin D3 in several big studies. They looked at 58 studies involving over 14 million subjects with COVID. So they analyzed 58 different studies, and they were able to take those 58 studies as to what the data or data consisted of in those 58 studies, and then prepared a study, one study out of the 58, based on 14 million subjects or participants that had COVID. And what they found was that 86% of the subjects in the study showed that a higher vitamin D level was associated with less severe COVID symptoms. Now, there was a lot of controversy during the COVID-19 pandemic that even a number of associations would not allow people to talk about natural alternatives like vitamin D, like melatonin, like andrographis, in some way, there's some benefit for that because they're trying to protect people from taking worthless things. But vitamin D, andrographis, melatonin, they were not worthless. They were extremely effective for reducing the side effects of COVID-19 and reducing the long-haul COVID. So when the infection was over, the body was healthy again. But in many subjects, when the COVID infection was cleared, they still had symptoms that lingered on over a very long period of time. So the biggest outbreak of COVID was 2022. We're in 2024, and people are still suffering from the effects of the infection. And vitamin D was associated with less severe COVID symptoms. Additionally, low vitamin D levels have been associated with slower recovery from COVID as well, and as an increased risk of long COVID. So what kind of vitamin D and how much vitamin D? D3 is the animal form of vitamin D. That means it's natural for humans and animals. Vitamin D2 is a plant form of vitamin D and somewhat synthesized, so it's not natural. The animal source is the most effective. Researchers compared supplemental vitamin D, D3 and D2, 600 IUs or units, or a placebo in 335 women during two consecutive winters. Now, the result of this study, the placebo group, that means the group that was taking a fake pill, no active material, no active substance, they saw a 25% decline in vitamin D levels. So they got worse, not better. The vitamin D2 group had a 34% increase in vitamin D. Good, but not the best, but good. Vitamin D3 group had a 75% increase in vitamin D. And vitamin D3 was twice as effective at increasing vitamin D levels. So experts recommend 5,000 to 10,000 IU or units of vitamin D daily for most people. That's a pretty fair dosage, 5,000 to 10,000 units. You might see it as IU, and that stands for international units of vitamin D3 daily for most people. Now, everyone is overweight. Very few are at a weight that is in ratio and comparisons to your body structure and type. And when you're overweight, you're not just out of shape. You're sick. The fat cells in the body. So all that fat isn't just fat. It's active. It's alive. And it produces compounds. It's just not useless weight. But it's unhealthy weight, but active. All those fat cells that make up the fat you're carrying in excess of what you should be carrying causes inflammation. All those cells cause inflammation in your body. Being overweight, you're more inflamed than someone who is in the right weight for their body size and height. Also, for men, all those cells produce estrogen, not testosterone. Men should have testosterone as the male-bearing hormone for vitality, for strong bones, strong muscles, good muscle tone, losing weight. There are so, and the right attitude, all the things that make a man happy is caused by testosterone. But all those fat cells are producing estrogen in the male body. And that's when you see a man with man boobs, overweight, double chin, all the things that tend to take away the appearance and the blessing of a body that's fit and in shape. So those people that have a beer belly or a bread belly or a pot belly, that's where your visceral fat is. All this fat that's in that cavity is interfering with your glands and organs, producing inflammation, more inflammation. Your diet is causing more inflammation because of sugar, carbohydrates, and seed oil. Don't use seed oil. Seed oil is terrible. It causes inflammation. It causes you to be unhealthy. But now they found that berries can reduce your visceral fat. And really, visceral fat is the most dangerous form of fat in the human body. As I said before, it's also called belly fat, beer belly, pot belly, bread belly. And it causes more inflammation and more damage to our organs, like the heart, kidneys, liver, and increased risk of other serious diseases. Saturated fat, the fat that you find in meat, butter, eggs, all the good fats, animal fats, do not cause an increase in weight. All the weight that people are carrying that's in excess of what they should, where they can't see their belt when they look down because the belly falls over the belt, all that fat is damaging the body and causing a risk of many diseases and death. So you want to get rid of that visceral fat. Slim down. And women have asked me many times, how do I get rid of this belly fat? Well, there's nothing in a pill that gets rid of belly fat. They help to some degree. But but women with high levels of visceral fat have 7 times increased risk of diabetes. 7 times. And it gets worse. 20% greater risk of heart disease and heart attacks. That's why women are experiencing heart attacks today like never before. 37% more likely to develop asthma. And almost twice as likely to develop invasive breast cancer. We need to lower the fat level of the people of America. 50% of America right now is obese. That's grossly overweight. Not just out of shape, not carrying a few pounds over your limit. And they expect by the year 2060, it's only a little bit more than 30 years away, if we do not change the American diet, 100% of Americans will be obese. That is going to have a huge impact on the health of America. Now replace margarine with berries to reduce the visceral fat. New studies just came out that looked at 1,500 mature adults, the average age of 69, measuring their visceral fat levels and recording their daily diet. The results, the more margarine and potatoes eaten, the higher the amount of visceral fat, while the more fruit and berries, vegetables, and fiber, the lower the amount of visceral fat, as much as 10 to 15% lower. And in an animal model, giving aronia berry extract to animals fed an unhealthy diet reduced the visceral fat by almost 25%. And you can buy aronia berries. They're not the best eating berry. They're a little bit on the astringent side. They make your mouth kind of pucker up. It's like drinking a glass of red wine that is dry. A dry red wine. I don't like a dry wine. I like a more fruity wine, more softer wine. But if you get one that's very high in tannins, that's where you're going to have this very dry effect. Tannins dry up things. They use tannins to dry leather, the tan leather. So they're not the best eating berry. You can use them in protein drinks or smoothies. You can bake with them. You can put them in whatever food you want them to be added to. But they have a really pronounced effect. By lowering visceral fat by almost 25%, that's huge. That's better than a weight loss drug. Well, probably not in the full course when you've got Ozempic and a few of the other drugs in that category. But also as well, even dropping the fat by 25%, also reducing blood pressure and blood sugar levels and prevent a weight gain by 10%. Berries have an effect on reducing visceral fat overall. Very, very effective. And you can also find aronia berries in capsule form as a supplement. If you want to drop weight, the best thing I can offer you is to follow a ketogenic diet. If you follow the ketogenic diet, you don't have to give up some of your favorite foods. You're going to have to give up a lot of foods, but not some of your maybe favorite foods. It's high in fruits and vegetables, extremely well chosen protein foods, and oils, fat oils, like olive oil and macadamia nut oil. And you can use as much of these as you want. Where the weight comes from is from carbohydrates and sugar and seed oils. So you reduce the carbohydrates as a low-carb diet. You lower the sugar entirely. Get all the sugar out of your house, out of your foods, out of your prepared foods, whatever. Or if you're buying box foods, there's going to be tons of sugar in all that, all those processed foods, ultra-processed foods. Get all those out of your diet and supplement your diet with high proteins, high oils, high fats, good fats. As I mentioned, olive oil, macadamia nut oil, avocado oil, pecan oil. They're all very, very healthy. And get rid of the seed oil, and you'll have a greater effect. And if you want to follow the ketogenic diet, which I highly recommend, you'll lose weight without even trying. There's nothing else you have to do but follow the ketogenic diet the way it's prepared. You don't have to count calories. You don't have to measure portions. You don't have to walk away from the table hungry. The foods that you're allowed on the ketogenic diet, you can eat as much as you want. So to really understand the ketogenic diet for weight loss is to go to Diet Doctor, the website dietdoctor.com. And you will have a good education and knowledge of how the ketogenic diet can help you lose weight. It is very, very effective. Now, does it matter what time of day you exercise? You probably say, yeah, no time. No, you got to have some exercise. That's part of the plan. It's a good choice. Which is better? Exercising morning or evening? In a study comparing healthy outcomes between people getting motivated to vigorous in the morning versus those with the same level of exercise in the evening, the evening group had slightly better health outcomes, including reduced risk of heart disease and diabetes. And in a separate study, women with breast cancer had better fitness when they exercise in the evening versus in the morning. I like nighttime. I don't like to work out in the morning. One theory is that people who already have more energy and better fitness are able to exercise at night after a day of work, a day that you've been out there doing all the things that you're required to do, and thus naturally have better health as well. Ultimately, the difference in health outcomes between exercising in the morning versus the evening isn't significant. So I think the best thing to say is, whether it's morning or night, just exercise. So better to exercise any time of the day versus not at all. Well, friends, I'm going to say goodbye for this session. Say a prayer for this crazy, crazy world until we meet again. And God bless you, friends. And God bless this great country.
The school year is starting soon. Whether at home or in the classroom, Family Natural Foods can help support health and success. All natural products can help boost your immune health and be your first lines of defense for both you and the kids. Maybe your child needs help focusing and concentrating. Ask about natural alternatives from Terry Naturally. Prepare now for a successful, healthy school year at Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.